Okay, well, I mentioned that we're going to talk about three things tonight, and I think that these three things, the seven things that we talked about this afternoon, if we leave out these three things that we're going to talk about tonight, the seven things that we talked about this afternoon really lose their effectiveness. Now, the three things that I want to talk about tonight, one of them, the first one, is getting started. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. Get him started. Now let me share with you. When I worked at Aircraft Mechanics, back in one section of the building, they had some IBM equipment, and one of them is a card sorter, and there's a couple other things back there, a key punch. And a lot of our production was on IBM cards. We had it on a card system. And so what I would do would be, I'd go back there and I'd say, I need these cards punched up and this and this and that. And the guy would say, okay, sit it down there, I'll get to you when I can. So I'd come back a couple hours later and hadn't had a chance to get to it. Come back hours later, still hadn't had a chance to get to it. Well, sometimes my stuff would sit down there for half a day. And sometimes all day. Well, that would throw me a little bit behind. And so I asked the guy one time, I said, you know, what do you do to run this thing? And so he showed me. You take your cards, like on the sorter, card sorter. He said, and you really get your cards straight here and you do it this way. Then you lay them right in here, you flip this button, and then you move it over to this line, depending on what line you want the card sorter to read. So you move it over to this line, you set that here, you flip this switch, and then when you're all set to go, hit that button right there, and man, it'll go. So I said, well, why don't you watch me and just teach me some of these things. So for a couple of times when he was in there, I would go in and he'd show me how to run cards. Or for the next time, I'd go down there, and I'd lay my cards up there, hit the button, and man, it'd off they'd go, and I'd spend 5 minutes down there, whereas used to, I'd take my cards down there, come back, finally I'd get them. So man, in 5 minutes, I'd go down and throw my cards up there, and hit a few buttons, turn a few switches, and man, she'd go. Well, I didn't understand what that machine was made for, or what it was made of. I looked back in her back, and there was thousands of miles of wire. Good night, it was more wire than... Oh, just tons of wire back there behind that machine. I look back and there's just wires going everywhere, and switches and lights and everything. Well, gang, I, to be honest with you, I did not know how that machine operated. I didn't understand how it operated. But I knew if I did this, and if I did this, and if I flipped that and mashed this and punched here, that baby would go. And that's all I wanted to know. Because I had a certain product at the end of it that I wanted to get, mainly my card sorted. Now, in the Christian life, a lot of times, before a guy understands the power of the Word of God, or he understands the value of the Word of God, or the changes that the Word of God can make in his life, he ought to be in it. Now, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand, the fact that the Word of God will strengthen him. He doesn't understand that the Word of God will help him defeat Satan or overcome temptation. He doesn't understand a lot of these things. But man, if I take months to explain to him all the details are the facts concerning the Word of God and why he ought to be in it before I ever try to get him into it, man, I've wasted a lot of time. And I think probably every one of you in here tonight could testify to the fact that before you ever understood the complete scope of the power or importance of the Word of God, that you had been reading it for quite some time. In fact, I dare say that not too many of us in this room, not if anybody, understands that yet. The power and the scope of the Word of God, and I've been through this Bible lots of times. So, gang, the guy doesn't have to understand the intricate details before he can start doing it. And so what we want to do is to get the guy started. And to do that, you don't have to, explain everything in detail and cover giant theological discussions and go into detailed doctrinal detailed studies. And just get the guy started reading. He doesn't have to understand that. I dare say the guy didn't have to understand it's inspired by God to start reading. I mean, is it inspired by God? Yes. Does it make a difference whether or not he understands that? It probably does pretty soon. But you wouldn't want to let the guy read him for 10 years. But it probably won't hurt him for a couple of weeks. And then one day, you might walk over to him and say, by the way, did you know that God wrote that? God wrote that, see? Well, see, you don't have to explain all those things to him. But what I'm just trying to say is get the guy started. And he doesn't have to understand a lot of things before he does it. Just get him started. Okay, now, this morning we were talking about witnessing, right? That was our deal. This morning we were talking about witnessing. So now I want you to do is you listen to me, how are you going to get the guy started in witnessing? You feel like that it's time for the guy to begin to get started in witnessing? He may be showing a little desire that way, But for some reason, either he's indicated that, or the Holy Spirit's kind of spoken in your heart about it, or as you pray about the guy, it just seems like the thing to do is to help this guy begin to start witnessing. And so you're going to try to get him started. How are you going to do it? Okay, take him with you. Okay, that's one way. Take him with you. Okay, how else are you going to get started?
Tonight you need to begin getting prepared, you know. Maybe sharing some key verses with him that'll answer questions he'll need to know in a witnessing situation.
Okay. Motivate. See, man, we can preach a lot to him. And the things I shared with you earlier, you know, I'll take the guy maybe that night, or I'll take him out that week on witnessing, if I feel like that's what the guy needs, and that's what he, and the Holy Spirit seems to give real peace in that area, I may take him out that night or that week. But man, you remember we talked about these two words, desire and discipline? Remember we talked about those two words? Well, man, desire has got always right above the discipline. Or pretty soon, the discipline is going to, you know, boy, it's going to become discouraging and law-bound, and he's going to want to punt. So if I can go by and say, hey man, let's go out tonight and blah blah blah, and I can probably, for the first time, I take him out just on sheer discipline. I'll take him out because of me. He'll go with me. But pretty soon, gang, I want this guy to want to go by. I want this guy to want to go. I don't want to just want him to go because I'm going. Excuse me. I want him to go because he wants to go. You see that? That's pretty important. I want the guy to go witnessing because he wants to go. I'd like for him to holler at me, hey man, when the next time you going to witnessing? Well, I don't know. Why? Well, I'd like to go with you. Oh, is that right? Yeah. Oh, when do you want to go? Well, let's go right now. Found me? I'd like for him to have a little desire. And so I want to work on that, so that's what I'm talking about motivating. Now let me just get this thing off the ground. Let me share with you just one thing I've written down here about getting this guy started. I would share with him, and I got this written down. I got it written down word for word here, and this is not for him. I wouldn't take this over and say, now listen, I'm going to read something to you, Joe. Now listen up, Joe. In fact, open your Bible because I'm going to share it. Now listen, I wouldn't do that at all. But I know my plan, you know, I have a plan. I would share with him that we are God's only planned method of getting word out. And I'd show him Isaiah 43:10 and Psalms 107:2. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Ye are my witnesses. And then the next one I'd show him is Psalms 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. So I'd show him those two verses, Isaiah 43:10 and Psalms 107:2. Now, it might not be a good idea not just to take notes, but just to listen, you know, kind of get the flow of the thing. I would share with him that the objective is the world, Mark 16:15. But since that might floor him, I would share with him that we start where we are, and I'd show him Acts 1:8. So I say, man, according to Mark 16:15, Joe, what's the objective? What's the objective of all this evangelism and telling people about Christ? Well, it's the world. Well, I say, yeah, but you think we can reach the world? I don't know. Well, let's look at Acts 1:8, and it shows him where we start. So I would show him, tell him that the objective is the world, but that we start where we are, Acts 1:8. I would share with him that we share the gospel, or the good news of Christ, because that is the needs of men and women today. I would also share with him that our personal testimony is proof that it works. And see, this also helps them to relate to the fact that their testimony relates to the gospel, which relates to salvation. And they begin to see how the importance of giving their testimony helps the guy. So I just kind of share that with him. I would also explain to him that it not only can be done, but that it will be done. And I would use Luke 2:1, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I tell you guys about that the other day, that little series down through there, this old drunken son, taxing the whole earth. So the world's no big thing. I mean, people have, how many in here know who's king of the wild frontier? Who is? David Crockett. Some old yard bird sat down one day and figured out how he's going to make $1 million. And so he began to sing a song, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. and they made coonskin caps and everything on earth. Oh boy, made amends, you know what? Leroy went on a world trip and he got down to Australia. And so he asked him, how many of you guys here know who is king of the wild frontier? Man, just like that. Davy Crockett. Everywhere he went, he got to Japan. You know what they said? Who's king of the wild frontier? However they said, but it was Davy Crockett. Man, it was all over the world. So getting something, getting the word all over the world is no big thing. What was that? What was the comment? Well, I must have missed a good one here. But getting something all over the world, again, that's no problem. And everybody can tell you who's king of the wild frontier. So, you know, in Caesar Augustus, Acts 5:29, it was in the whole city. Acts 17:6, they turned the world upside down. And Romans 5:9, they're going to be there from every tongue, kindred, and tribe, and nation in heaven. Well, you know, I just kind of share these things with this fellow. And because I want to motivate him to want to witness. And I want to tell this guy, I said, Joe, if you'd like to witness with us, man, you're just going to join in on the fun. But whether or not you join us or not, man, God said he's going to do it. I mean, the world's going to hear. I might even show him Habakkuk, 2:14? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What's that verse? Is that Habakkuk 2:14? Is that? It's in Habakkuk. It's only three chapters. You can't miss it, too. Right? So that's one of the things. That's one of my things about how to get him started. See that? That's one of the things. That's how to get him started. And I'd preach that little thing to him, and then of course the next thing is I'd take him with me. But see, that's just a little motivator there that I got because I want him cranked up, man. I want him fired up. And see, the second step I've got down here is I would take him with me to evangelize. And I would probably go see a buddy of mine or someone that I already knew, not just to go into a stranger. But I'd probably go see a buddy. Right now, I can't think why I wrote that down. I mean, what makes a difference? I wrote down the first time he would just listen. The second time he would share his testimony completely untrained and unrehearsed. And this would probably motivate him how to give his testimony. First of all, by seeing me give mine smoothly, and secondly, by totally blowing his. You know, so it's just one of my little, you know, I feel like it's an idea that God's given me. Then I would share Revelation 12:11 with him, which is about testimony, that the testimony is powerful. And then I got down here steps that I'd begin to help this guy to give his testimony. And I'd work on him with that. But man, all I'm trying to do is get the guy started witnessing. That's all. Now, you guys got any more? You know what? You know, write down a couple more up here. How you get him started? I got two. I'm gonna put these in reverse order. First of all, I'm gonna put down motivating. And secondly, was taking with you. And by under motivate, my little deal was kind of a, I'm going to put sermon, that's a very poor term for this. It should be share, just share some thoughts with him, but sermon will communicate. Now, can we come up with any more ideas about how you get him started? How'd you guys get started witnessing? What turns you on? What made you want to witness?
Sharing my testimony. I never did it before, and one of Brett Young told me how to write it out,
and then
write it out in the plan, and then I had to share it. This is what got me excited about it, sharing my testimony for the first time.
Okay, well, what you're actually saying there is that you did it. What motivated you to do it was doing it. You know, and the testimony helped prepare you, which is real good. It was a success experience. But I'm just going to write down doing it. Turn it on. Yes?
Seeing results or people actually listening to you.
Okay.
Seeing the Holy Spirit working on
it. You know what? You know, a lot of times we'll take a guy out and we'll pray like crazy that God won't blow it. Now, God don't blow it. I'm taking out this young babe. And boy, Lord, if we hit a bad guy, this guy's going to be totally wiped out. You know? We really play, God, now don't blow it now, Lord. Now, this, you know, I want you to know now, Lord, this is a young guy. And Lord, don't let us run the wrong guy, because boy, don't blow it. You know something? And we're worried about whether that thing, whether that guy knows what he's doing. Good grief. But see, I'm just going to write down success. Success is a very, very high motivator. You know, the football team that scored all the points, man, they're anxious for the kickoff. I mean, they just scored a touchdown, and they kick off, and the offensive line is just sitting there, they're just on the line, just raring to go. I mean, they're just on the sidelines, just waiting to get back in there again. Because, man, they just scoring those points, see? Well, anytime, you know, success is really a motivator. It really is.
I think the other thing is to realize that people are interested in hearing. You know, man, sometimes the Lord would set Max up with a dorm meeting and a bunch of us would go over and, boy, be there 2 or 3 hours just answering their questions. And it's unbelievable. Especially if you come out of a church background, you think, man, nobody wants to hear. But they really do. That motivated me like crazy. Just to find out people did want to hear.
Okay, realizing that people are hungry. For to realize that the people are hungry, and they need this, and they want this. So that's just an idea about, you know, and see if this guy, if you can help this guy realize that, then turn him on. It really will. If he can see you out witnessing to a guy, and seeing this guy just really, it just meets a need in his heart. And that'd turn him on. Just by taking him out and doing it would help him overcome fear. That's probably what that was. Just overcoming fear. Fear of the unknown more than anything else. Well, I've never done this before. Take him with you and just motivate him by telling him, just showing him some verses. Now, I say now, you guys, boy, you guys are no dum-dums. Man, you can figure out what to do with a guy. You can almost look back at your own experience and figure out what to do with him. Now, one thing I'd encourage you to do is this part up here is about, I'd like for you to probably maybe work up a little sermon or something you can preach to him or that would help motivate him. And man, of all the verses that you guys have already memorized on witnessing, that shouldn't be hard at all. But get him started. Okay, now is there any question about this? I wonder if I should read any more. No, I'm going to quit. I got a little down here about how I'd get him to do it, how I would motivate him to get his testimony in shape. And then I got a little deal down here about how I'd motivate him to learn the bridge. And that bridge, maybe you'd want him to learn it. Real purpose in life. Little track there, man. If that thing works, and it, obviously it does, press on. Then maybe you want to teach them how to learn that thing or to use that thing. But you just need to, you know, you need to motivate and work on that. Why don't I just read through mine real fast and you just listen. Because don't try to write down. Okay, first thing I do, I say, man, Jim, why don't you tell him how you came to Christ? And that's the first time he heard that. I mean, walking over the dorm, I didn't even prep him. I said, now, I might ask you to tell him how you came to Christ. Man, I wouldn't even tell him anything. I just rapped cold on the spot. Say, man, why don't you tell him how you came to know Christ? It doesn't matter what he says. Because I want it to be a successful experience for him. But I want him to get used to sharing, and I want to get him involved in the battle. So, then coming back, I'll ask him, you know, if he's ever given any consideration to just, maybe I'll ask him for this 2 or 3 times. Maybe the first time he gives his testimony, it's just kind of an ordinary common thing. He doesn't really get motivated by or feel convicted or anything. But I'll try to bring him to the point where he wants to give his testimony better. And then when I got him at the point where he wants to give his testimony better, then what I'll do is I'll teach him how to do that. And I got it down here that I'd give it to him in 3 sections. The first time I'd say, now, why don't you go back and just sit down and write down in about 2 paragraphs, what your life was like before you became to know Christ. And tomorrow morning, you know, it's your second period, you got free. Why don't we meet over here and I'll buy you a cup of coffee and just read that to me. So we meet at Student Center, second period, he's got free and he just reads 2 paragraphs. He sat down and wrote out what his life was like. And then I'll help him on that. I'll help him for a few words here and a few words there. Now that way, see, gang, I don't say now. What you do is you go back to your room and you write these 3 pages. And what you do in the first part, you write this. Second part, you write this. Third part, you write this. Because it's too much. That may be too much, but if I give him just 1 section, And just go back and write how your life was like. And then I'll read that and kind of critique him on that and help him in that area. And then I say, now, boy, now once you get now write about the same amount of stuff, and why don't you just write down in your own words, man, just in your own thinking, how you accepted Christ. I mean, how you heard the gospel and how you accepted Christ. Hello, Bill. Bruce, yours?
Right.
Okay.
Thanks.
You bet. Thank you. Then I'd help him with him next, meet with him next day and have him that, and then the next day I'd say, now, why don't you just tell him what life's like now? I mean, just write down kind of what your life's like now. And write that down. And then the next day I'd go by and kind of help him with that. And then I'd say, you know what, Jim, this looks like? That looks like, well, that really looks like a good testimony. When you talk to a guy, don't you think that guy would be excited about hearing that? Man, that is your testimony. And I don't think I would have told him, now what I'm going to do is kind of help you write out your testimony. But I just, you know, won't you tell him what your life was like before? And then the second day, see that gang, it's just an idea. That's just an idea. And with one guy it might work, and the next guy it might not. The next guy might not work. Well, let's try something else. I'd help him to get his testimony. Then I would work on how to present the bridge. I would one night, about the fourth or the fifth guy we witnessed to, ask him to share Romans 3:23. And I never prepped him on this before. If he is unable to do so, I'd ask him to share the general idea. Accept what he says, make it a success experience. Ask him for the same thing the next guy. Probably the same night. Ask him for it again. Then the next time we're out, I'd ask him both times again, but I'd probably use a different verse, like Revelation 3:20 or something. But I'd ask him to quote a verse that second night we were out. Then after that night, I would see if he saw the need to memorize verses. He should, having seen me successfully and himself unsuccessful. And if he were not motivated at this point, I would show how Jesus used the scriptures to answer questions in Matthew 4, 4, 6, and 10, and Matthew 22. A couple of passages out of that. Boy, Jesus, Satan came and Jesus answered him right out of the Word of God. Matthew 22, the Pharisees came, Jesus answered him out of the Word of God. Matthew 20, later on, the Sadducees came, he answered them. The lawyers came, he answered them out of the Word of God. So I just showed him, man, look how Jesus answered questions. People had questions. You just see how Jesus answered them out of the Word of God. And then I show him, when Peter preached, I think, when Peter preached in Pentecost and 3,000 people were saved, well, if you'll check, about the first 15 verses that Peter preached, over half of them were quotes. He was quoting. And I just kind of read down there, and I read about the first 15 verses, and I think, I wonder how many of those are quotes. And I went back and looked up, over half of them were quotes. And see, Peter didn't have to say, now ye men and brethren, gather to me and listen as I expound unto you, and as it saith in the prophet Joel. Wait a minute. Hey, you there, lad. How about running down to the temple and getting me the Joel scroll? It's up in the left corner. You know, it's over on the left shelf, right above the coast. Bring the Joel scroll. Now, don't go away, folks. Don't go away. I've got these verses, and it's really pertinent to what we're going to do. But just a minute. Let me get the Joel scroll so the guy, you know. So now, don't go away. Who would like to give a testimony while we wait? Man, I tell you, I think it caught on. Jesus knew the Word of God. I think his men knew it. And I just use an illustration like that. Okay, the next thing you want to do is, after we get him started, you want to, the second thing is keep him going. Keep him going. And I'm not going to, we spent enough time with that first one to, you know, figure out how to do these things, so I'm going to press on pretty quick here. But the second thing is keep him going. And this is also motivation. You want to keep his desire above him. Here's an idea. Have others in the group share their testimony with him. You know, you're getting together for prayer one night. Hey, Jim, why don't you share with the group your testimony? Now, I'm not talking about the guy I'm trying to get to witness is Joe. So I say, Jim, why don't you share your testimony? So Joe is sitting there, see, and he listens to Jim share his testimony. And it's really neat. So I'd have somebody else share their testimony. Maybe we're going to get together one night and I'll go do evangelism. I say, now, okay, we'd like to give our testimony tonight just as the power of God, you know, in converting a guy. So this guy gives his testimony. Well, old Joe, the guy I'm trying to get started, here's that. You see, all these things I'm trying to keep thinking about is that will keep his motivation high. I want to keep his motivation high. I might have him read Acts 26 and how Paul gave his testimony and how it made the guy shake. Paul gave his testimony, this guy just shook. Yeah, man, that's pretty powerful. If we go to a conference, I'd if he needs it, I'd have him attend a workshop or a seminar on witnessing. And then one of these days, I'd share with him the wheat in India, the wheat on the checkerboard story. These guys ever heard that? Well, you can tell when you get back, huh? So anyway, but I share with him this thing about world vision. And man, we're doing this for a purpose. And our objective is the world. And I share that with him because I want to keep his motivation high. And gang, don't ever forget that. Don't ever think he's got it down. And you don't ever have to worry about this guy's motivation anymore. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever slip into that rut. Okay. And the third thing, after you keep him going, and you can come up with 83 billion ideas, keep him going. The next thing is evaluate. Evaluate where he is or how he's doing. Now, this is in light of established. You remember we talked about being established? So this is in light of being established. Now you remember established is when a guy's kind of on his own feeding himself. And when he would be established in witnessing is that when probably when he's witnessing on his own without you and doing it effectively and skillfully. So now I put down some areas here on how to evaluate how he's doing or when he's established in witnessing. One area I put down here, well, I would begin to get the idea that he's got the picture when he's witnessed to his roommate on his own. Nobody prompted him to do it. Nobody spoke to him, just on his own. He shared the gospel with his roommate. Another thing I have down there that he shares his testimony or the gospel with a classmate. He just kind of sitting in class one day and he shares the gospel with this guy or a buddy or something. Or he's walking back from school or something. But he shares his testimony and the gospel with somebody else, just some other guy. And third thing I got down here, and I put a star by this one because this one to me was really important, that he shares his testimony and the gospel of Christ with his parents or with his girlfriend. Because that's the people that he's really closest to. Man, when that old boy goes home and he tells his mom, and he gives his mom about his testimony and how he came to know Christ and the gospel, that guy's got a heart for witnessing. He, old Joe, is beginning to get the picture. Or his girlfriend, see, because his girl, she might think I'm, and she might want to break, I mean, you know, so man, I think, boy, when you share with those that you value the friendship most, that's a good sign to me. Another thing down here is when he's trying to teach someone else how to witness or encourage someone else to witness. And let's see. Yeah, see, this guy, you know, one of the other Christians in the bunch, and he says, hey, man, how'd you do in evangelism? I mean, who have you witnessed this week? Well, not anybody this week. I plan to do it tonight. Is that right? Oh, man. Boy, let's get the good word out. See, and he's encouraging this guy, or he's trying to get this guy to witness. Well, boy, that indicates to me that old Joe's getting the picture. I got another one down here. When he shows up for team evangelism on his own consistently, he begins to show up. Well, I don't have to go by and get him anymore. I don't have to go by and say, now, Joe, Thursday night's team evangelism, would you like to go with us? We're going to go out and share some. Okay, I'll go. So I'll go by and get him. So I want to make sure he goes, so I go by to get him. But then comes a time when he just shows up on his own. And so that would indicate something to me. And I wrote down another thing. It's when he brings someone else to team evangelism. He brings this guy, this Baptist, you know, he's over at the BSU, so he found this Baptist guy who never witnessed. So he brought this guy. He brought him, hey, Max, this guy wants to go do evangelism with us tonight. Great. Well, man, that would indicate to me that Joe's getting the picture. Now, you see that? But I want to have something down on writing. So I can go back and I say, well, let me read these things. And that's, no, he hadn't witnessed to his roommate. No, he's not sharing his testimony with anybody. No, he hasn't told his mom. No, he hasn't told his girlfriend. No, he hasn't told anybody else. He's not coming to, I have to go out and get him for evangelism. No. Well, you know, maybe I better pray about this guy in this area. Maybe I better just kind of find out what's happening here. But see, boy, I want to have something down on writing, in writing, that's like flags. But I want some flags to go up, see? And man, if the old boy is something good, man, the flag goes on. Man, look at that. Or if I don't see any flags, you know, I want to know that. But I want to have certain flags that if something happens, the flag goes up like, ooh, ooh. Well, that's, I'm on QIT, quit. But does that give you some idea, gang? But man, I'd encourage you guys with all your heart, put it down on paper. Boy, put it down on paper.
You know, we have some questions, Jeff?
Yeah, I got time. You know, it's what time are we supposed to end? 7:45, 8:45? Okay, anything you want to ask, gang?
How often do you try and get with, say, a new Christian? Do you try and sing every day, or?
That's a good question. One thing I don't want to do is think he's got a new roommate. I'll tell you, it's the question wasn't for the state thing, is how often should you try to get with a new Christian? And I think we can, now when he accepts Christ, I spend some time with him immediately then on assurance of salvation. I try to help the guy immediately in that topic. And I'll show him 1 John 5:11-12. I probably won't challenge him to memorize it that night. I'll show it to him and ask him to read it. Well, now when you get through studying tonight or before you go to bed, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to open your Bible and I'm going to leave it at 1 John 5:11-12. I'm going to lay it on your pillow. Does that mean business? So I'm going to lay it on your pillow. And when you go to bed tonight, now you read that verse just 3 or 4 times. And then you can close your Bible and you can lay it over here. See, before you go to bed tonight, say, I want to hear now, before you go to bed tonight, read this. I'll open it up for him, see? And I said, now before you go to bed, I'm going to lay this on your pillow. See? I mean business with this guy. So I'm going to lay this on your pillow now, and before you go to bed tonight, now you read this. Okay? You see that? Boy, that's God's Word. That's God's Word. You read that. And so I'll spend a little time with him at night. And unless it's something bad, I'll be back to see him next day. And I'll probably get together and I won't start him off on something else. I'll just probably share with him how God's been good that day and what I got in my quiet time, and let's pray together. Man, but probably about this third visit, I'll start him. You ever read your Bible? You never read it. And I'd probably say, you know, what book is it you think has made a greater impact on the world than any other book? You really think the Bible has? What makes, you know? Well, what book do you think more men have followed more than any other book? And I'll just ask him questions, some general questions about the Bible. And then I'll ask him, have you ever read the Bible? Well, man, you know, I've got a little program here that this is one I use, and I'll probably open my Bible and I'll show him to you my little program. This is one I use, and do you know that Joe, that I would probably, I can read this right here, I can get through the New Testament on this little program, and I can read the New Testament every year. Every year I can read the New Testament, just doing these few little verses. And man, I'll tell you, Joe, this thing has really helped me in my reading, man, just reading the Bible. Man, this thing has really helped me to understand what God wants me to do. It's really good. Man, if you'd ever be interested in that, let me know. That could really change your life. But I would never say, now, Joe, here's what you do. I would never give it to him. But I'd probably spend some time with him right then. I'd be back the next day. And then probably about the third day, I'd be back again with something for him to do. I'd want him to get started doing something. And man, I tell you, the flags would go up if I came back. He said, you know, I was reading my Bible last night. I'd go right to the roof, you know. Okay, then you know what I'd get him to do? I'd try to hit him read his Bible better. Now, if you do, man, you know, I memorized that verse. Is that right? Man, flags would go up. Out would come bee rations and everything. Okay. Any other question? Man, it's hotter than a French fried frog up here. I don't know about you.